I'd appreciate your prayers. I never want to count lightly or take for granted the blessing and inspiration and anointing of the Lord. We are desperate for the Lord to meet with us and to talk to our hearts, to impart to us the words of life as only He can. Written on the board, the words, fervent in spirit. And I'd like to begin in the 12th chapter of Romans, from which these words are pulled. Romans chapter 12. Begin with the 9th verse. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. The Apostle Paul here giving instruction to them on a number of different lines. It begins with a verse that we read saying, let love be without dissimulation. Well, dissimulation is, it's a counterfeit. It's putting a mask on. It's not the true thing. It's like a veneer that has a skin on it or a very thin layer on it that looks like something that it's really not under the surface, down deep inside. Well, salvation, thank the Lord, is about so much more than that. It's about so much more than just decorating the outside and making the outside look like it conforms or look like what people expect. Jesus, in dealing with the Pharisees, was quite forthright with them about their desire to white the outside of the sepulchers and make it look good. And it said they loved to seek the pleasure and the honor of man more than the honor of God. You know, that's a shallow way to live. It's a shallow and not very fulfilling existence. The Lord wants our love to go deeper than that. Our love for one another, that it go deeper than just a smile we paste on our face, and that because of the way that we think it's expected. Well, I want to get, before we go on here, Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We'll probably come back to this verse. But Ephesians, the 5th chapter, gives us some counsel. I'm sorry, 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing the whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Well, the song we sang says something about a peace that's not depending on our troubles relenting. Salvation was never about Christ's work. Was never about overturning the rule of the Romans or changing your external circumstances around you so that you might be able to live a certain way, but to change us in those circumstances that we might be able to live pleasing and glorifying to Christ. Now, he's not condoning the practice of slavery. He's not condoning that practice of a master abusing the service of a servant, but you know, the Lord, one place Paul wrote that every man abide in the same calling wherewith he is called. If he is a servant, if he has the opportunity to be free to use that, but if not, to serve Christ and to glorify the Lord, even in that very place. Paraphrasing some there of what Paul said. But the idea was that whatever station in life we are, we're called to glorify the Lord. We're not to just chafe. We're not to try to stir up a revolution that change circumstances about us, but to be able to find the grace of God sufficient in our circumstance to glorify the Lord. So even unto a servant, or perhaps today we could think of it as in our place of employment. Do you know the life of a Christian is that the world needs? It's a savor that the world needs. You ask an employer, well, it doesn't seem like it sometimes. Those that are on the side of the fence that I'm on regarding employment right now. But you ask an employer and it's not easy to find good work anymore. It's not easy to find somebody that has true character, a moral basis that's dependable, that'll show up. Well, this scripture says, not with eye service, not just because the boss is looking, not just whenever I know other people are looking on, that's whenever I really perform my best, but to do it as unto the Lord, who sees all things in secret and in open. And the scripture says, if you're doing what you do to be seen of men, then you have your reward. That's as far as it goes. But if you do what you're doing out of a love for the Lord and out of desire to serve Him regardless of whether other people are looking on, let your love be without dissimulation. Let it be genuine from the heart. He said that your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly. With singleness of heart, how long will you halt between two opinions? The prophet asked a wavering children of Israel who were back and forth between serving God, the one true God, and serving the gods of the people of the nations around them. How long will you halt? How long are you going to be torn between two opinions? Make up your mind. Serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was given to them even under the Old Testament dispensation. Love the Lord with all your heart, singleness of heart, not with eye service as men pleasers, doing the will of God from the heart. So it says back to Romans 12 that our love needs to be genuine, real. Well, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's not something that you really can counterfeit or can conjure up. The love that the Lord gives His children is something that is so much deeper and more genuine and authentic than a fleeting feeling. Or Jesus talked about, if you do good unto those that do good unto you, what thank have you? Anybody can do that. That's not a true love. That's, I'll give to you and you give back to me, but a sacrificial, giving, caring love. By this shall all men know, the scripture says, that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. There is something that will be so remarkable and so different about that love that the world will take note. Well, Lord, help us. This not being the thrust of the message, but Lord, help us to have a love that is without dissimulation, that is without counterfeit or without a veneer, but the love of God being shed abroad in our heart that works its way outward. Not slothful in business. As we said of the Christian, you know, the Christian ought to be the best employee that there is to be found, because the Word of God teaches us about making good use of our time, being good stewards of what the Lord has given us, of not being slothful and wasteful, of being honest, of being true, of all of the characteristics that would make us a valuable employee or a valuable neighbor or a valuable spouse or whatever it might be. It comes through the work of grace within our hearts. Don't be slothful in business. Whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all of our might. Well, you know, I believe this touches every aspect of our lives, really. We are to be an industrious people. We are to be careful and diligent. The scripture even says to those who are the keeper of flocks, to give heed unto the, and diligence to know the state of your herds and your flocks. Don't just go about it carelessly. Don't just put in the minimum amount of effort required, but be diligent about it. Put your heart into it. Do it so as to be successful. the world, Scripture talks about, Jesus said, in some regards, that the children of this generation, of this world, are wiser than the children of light. You know, they will give and sacrifice and deny themselves to meet the success that they consider to be important, and the things that they put their heart upon, they'll deny plans and sleep and whatever it is to be able to obtain a temporal crown. Well, we're instructed to be diligent, not only in our temporal matters, but folks, how much more so in the affairs of our soul, that we're to be diligent, that we're not to just be haphazard and just hope that things go well, just hope that things come together and just give half-hearted service, but with singleness of heart, with a genuineness of character and of heart, that I give myself to the Lord in all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that I serve the Lord in that way. And whatsoever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Not being slothful in our business of our soul. As well, folks, above everything else, how important it is to be diligent in the matters of our soul. Spoke some Wednesday night about the importance of being able to glean from the Word of God the treasures that the Lord has for us. It's going to require a diligence. It's going to require an effort and a consistency. As one brother brought out, we've got to be consistent about it. We've got to be faithful to it. Not being slothful in business. Folks, if we're not slothful, if we're diligent in the matters of our soul, we'll be able to see the fruit of it. Just ask somebody that's diligent in the matters of their business or establishing a business, you soon begin to see it. Somebody that's diligent in tending to their garden, you're soon going to be able to see the fruit of that, or their yard, or keeping up of their house, or whatever it is. It's evidence. We want it to be evidenced that we're diligent about the needs of our soul. Not to be as the picture that Solomon saw of the vineyard that was in disrepair, of things beginning to crumble and beginning to fall apart, and it's all just a picture of what was years ago, but today it's in a state of disrepair. The Lord wants our experience to be fresh and alive and up to date and maintained. Well, I'd like to move down now to what we have written here. Fervent in spirit. Fervency refers to the temperature of a thing. To be fervent is to be in a state such as boiling, and refers even to the molten state of metal whenever it's heated to such a fervent degree that it's glowing red hot and it becomes plastic in that form, and you heat it up enough, plastic meaning that you can stretch and mold it and work with it because it's so hot. You melt it a little more or increase the heat a little more and it becomes just molten. It'll flow. It'll fill the void or the mold of something that's being made. You know, the Lord wants us to be fervent in our spirit, to be boiling, to be hot in spirit. So I want us this morning individually to take a temperature check. You've probably been in the last year a number of places that have temporal scanners that will scan your temperature and tell you what temperature you have, whether you have a fever. Well, Lord, help us this morning to do a bit of a scan on ourselves, on our spirit. What's the temperature of my spirit? The Scripture warns us in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the days that we would find ourselves in before the end of time. Matthew 24:12, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Many people's love, their fervency, begins to be diminished. Well, the environment around us influences us. You take even from the standpoint of thermodynamics. If I take something, a hot cup of water, and I set it here, after a little while, it's going to assume the same temperature of the surroundings, of the environment that's around it. You take that temperature of 71 or whatever it is in here, it'll become 71 degrees. You take it outside where it's 30, and it will become 30 degrees over time. The Lord doesn't want us to just assume the temperature of our surroundings. But that's exactly what'll happen over the process of time if we're not careful. And as the environment around us in our world waxes worse and worse, and iniquity abounds more and more, folks, we're not so isolated and sheltered that we're not going to be influenced by it. I think about a building, even such as this. It's important that you insulate the building to be able to hold in as much as possible the temperature that you're trying to heat to. I want to try to illustrate a little something if I can on the board. Whenever you have a thermostat in a house, it is to tell the temperature of, it's more than just a thermometer, isn't it? That tells you what something is. Well, you've no doubt heard the little saying that we're to be not just a thermometer, not just a reflection of the temperature that's around us. Our life isn't to just be a reflection that here's the state of everybody else that I work with. Well, they all tell dirty jokes, and they all do this, and they all, so I just kind of assume that form. We're not to be a thermometer, but a thermostat, rather. It sets the temperature that something's going to be, regardless of the environment around. But if we had a chart recorder here in the chapel that recorded the temperature over time within the chapel, you'd find that it starts out maybe at 72 degrees. But if it's cold outside, that temperature is going to begin to drop. Now you put, again, insulation in your walls and in your attic to try to lessen the slope of that curve so that you don't lose heat as rapidly, as quickly. You hold it in for a little while longer. Well, the Lord wants us, there are things that we can do to insulate ourselves a little bit more from the conditions and the environment around us. There are things that I'm not going to put into my life that open up the draft of the world to blow right into my soul. There are things I'm going to do that's going to provide a barrier, a little bit of a blockade against the drafts and the cold winds just blowing right through. You ever been in a place that when it gets really cold out, you can feel the draft? The house that we just sold was built in 1860 or so, and when it got cold enough, you'd feel the draft. Along your feet, you'd feel almost like a cold breeze that was blowing along. It wasn't insulated very well. It wasn't airtight against the elements. Well, Lord, help us to live an airtight life. That I not just open myself up to the influences of the world, whether it be through its what it considers entertainment, or the places the world wants to go and the things the world likes to listen to, that can open us up to the spirit of influence blowing into our soul. Folks, it'll cool off our fervency in a hurry. There are things of the world that you invest yourself in, and we're going beyond now just the things that are legal and illegal spiritually. Those things that are lawful or not, but what is expedient for me? What is it that's going to allow me to maintain my fervency of spirit, my fervent love for the Lord? Well, there are things that I can begin to dabble with and spend my time in that I'll find when I get to the other side of it. Maybe I could say, well, you couldn't prove that this isn't lawful, that this is sin. But what does it do to my spirit? What does it do for my love for God? For the fervency that I have and the desire that I have to read in His Word and to spend time in prayer with the Lord. Lord, help us. We need to close the windows in the wintertime. We need to seal some things up. We need to get some weather stripping. Understand what I'm saying? To try to keep out the influences of the world that will begin to cool our spirit and our fervency off so quickly. But even the best influence or best insulated building is still going to lose heat after a while. They have these roto-molded coolers now that are supposed to keep something icy cold for 8 days or 10 days or whatever it is. But eventually, it will assume the temperature of the surroundings outside of it. The only exception to that, and follow along with me now, the only exception to that is if you provide energy to it. If you provide a power source to it to add heat into it, it'll keep it hot. Otherwise, even the best insulated, folks, we can dress ourselves just right. We can abstain from the things of the world, but that's still not going to be enough to keep our spirit fervent, to keep it vibrant and alive and hot and passionate for the things of God. We're going to have to be connected to the source of power and of strength that whenever this temperature begins to drop, and maybe I can change the slope of that. Maybe instead of the temperature dropping that rapidly, it drops more like that. But it's still going to drop. It's still going to begin to cool off. Do you ever feel the effects of just the world around us? It begins to wear on us. You get tired sometimes and just wonder if it's still worth fighting. We're going to have something that recognizes whenever the fervency gets low. That's what a thermostat does. This line, you have your set point, and you say if it drops below 70 degrees in this building, we're going to have to supply more power to it. We're going to have to supply more energy into it. Otherwise, it's just going to continue going downward. So a thermostat kicks in, and it brings it back up to temperature. And then it shuts off. We begin to drop in temperature a little bit, but every time you see that happen, it brings it back up to temperature. We had a variable speed compressor on one of our heat pumps, and it tried to minimize this kind of pattern a little bit, where you weren't dropping so far down and then kicking on and bringing it all the way up. But as soon as it started to recognize half a degree, just a little bit of cooling off, it's going to slowly turn that unit on so it begins supplying a little heat so you don't have to go through that wild cycle. Now, that's exaggerated. That's probably about a degree in a building. But you know, the Lord wants us to recognize quickly whenever our temperature is beginning to drop. Whenever our fervency for the Lord is starting to cool off, if we're not careful, we'll go on and on and on, and we get cooler and cooler and cooler in spirit. And that's self-perpetuating. The cooler you get in spirit, the less desire you have for the things of God. It begins to do the body whenever it begins to go into a state of hypothermia, begins to shut down. You begin to not want to move very much. You, from what I understand, you begin to get drowsy. Your mind begins not thinking real clearly. You're not able to make sound judgments anymore. We see a parallel of what can happen in our spirit as well. Folks, this world is bitter cold. When it comes to spiritual things, it is devoid of the heat of the Spirit of God, of the heat of a true, genuine, fervent love for God. It's devoid of it. You take heat away and cold is left. And how cold our world is today, folks, it will affect us. Now, there are things that we must do to minimize the effect it has on us and to compensate for that effect that it has on us. But every one of us, it doesn't matter how long we've been saved or how spiritual or filled with the Spirit we are, we're going to need something on an ongoing basis to supply to provide an energy and a power to keep my spirit hot and fervent. And the colder it gets, the steeper that line tends to become. The more, it's why our energy bills are more in the wintertime, because it's having to kick on more and more frequently to keep that temperature up. Folks, are we compensating for the condition of the world around us? The amount that the furnace runs in the fall time isn't enough for the winter. You're going to have to compensate now. Things are getting colder. You're going to have to compensate and put more into it to be able to keep it at the same temperature. The conditions that we're in this day and age is going to require us to put more into it, to invest more into our spiritual walk with the Lord, because the love of many is waxing cold. I'd like to look at Revelation, the second chapter. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. This was written unto the church at Ephesus. And I firmly believe that the letters written unto the churches in Revelation are throughout time. That it's applicable to wherever you find this condition in the church or among men throughout any age. We see a great cooling off in our world. But folks, I see the effect. I see the effect of it upon those that profess godliness. Lord, help us to be fervent in spirit, because the Ephesians were one time fervent in spirit. How do we know that? Because Acts, the 19th chapter, tells about it. Whenever they began to minister in Ephesus, and there were those who were following the goddess Diana, and remember, they were worshiping that goddess, and they were keeping all the silversmiths and all in business, because they were supplying all of the gods, all the statues and idols in their homes. They had many books about their writings, about the curious arts, and about the idolatry or witchcraft and the things that they practiced in those days. But folks, when they got a hold of salvation and the Lord got a hold of them, it didn't make them just a reformed pagan. It didn't make them a more moral pagan. It changed who they were. It changed what they wanted to do. Folks, that's what salvation will do for us. I don't believe in just a reformed sinner experience or a more moral sinner. The Lord makes us a new creature, a new creation. We're new in Christ. Where once we were dead, now we're alive in Christ and have new life in Him. What a fervency they had. They were so vehement in their zeal for the Lord. It says they went home and they gathered, collected all of their books about idolatry and all those things they so faithfully read, and they gathered them up. They didn't just put them further back on the shelf. They were so ardent in their spirit. We've decided we're going all the way with the Lord. This is the only way for me. I've left all the world behind me. I've left Diana behind, the goddesses that we served, and all the idolatry and the paganism that we served. I'm done with it. And so fervent were they in that determination. They brought all those books and they threw them in the street and they lit them on fire and had a book burning. Folks, they were determined. They were fervent in their spirit about what they wanted to do for the Lord. But you fast forward now, what was it? 30-ish years, 30, 40 years. And that congregation now is established and settled, and they've been around for a while now. And something had happened. Over the course of time, a congregation that was once so on fire for the Lord had begun to cool. They left their first love behind. And the Lord was calling them back to it. He said, remember from whence you're fallen. Remember that state of fervency that you had in your spirit. That zeal that you had for the Lord. And come back to that place. Come back where you left that off. Let go of the other things that you picked up in its place. Let go of those things and resume your first love for the Lord in singleness of heart. Think about in the Old Testament, the priests were commissioned with an important duty to keep the lamp burning by night and by day. It was to burn perpetually throughout their generations. You know, there's a picture in that for us. The Lord wants us to keep the lamp burning. Jesus, I believe, even alluded to that in preparation for His return, that our lamps be burning, our loins girt about, our lamps burning brightly. But the five foolish virgins learned the hard way that there's a requirement to keep your lamp burning. You got to keep oil in the lamp. You got to keep the source of power in your lamp. And we understand oil to be representative of the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Folks, we're not able of ourselves to maintain. The best that we can maintain is what the Scripture talks about of dissimulation. It's a form. It's a veneer that we can maintain in our own strength. But to have that true, fervent passion burning in our heart, folks, that takes a divine work of the Spirit in our life on an ongoing basis to keep us going. It's not that trip to the altar, whether it's in our home where the Lord deals with us or it's at a service like this, that is important. But we've got to have something on an ongoing basis, putting into, investing into this thing, that the flame not go out, that it not begin to sputter and die and the flame go out. Oh Lord, help us to keep the flame burning. The Scripture talks about in John about being connected, the vine with the branches. Except you be connected with me, Jesus said, you're not going to have life in you. Folks, that's our secret to staying fervent in spirit. And I believe it's recognizing when I see that I'm beginning to cool off in spirit, it doesn't even necessarily mean there's something wrong with me. That's going to happen. But what it requires is that I recognize it and that I don't allow it to continue in that path, in that progression, that I've got to have something to happen to turn that chart around, to make an inflection point and begin to invest energy into it. I've got to be connected to the vine, which is Christ, from whom the life flows into us and keeps us alive and fervent in spirit. Song of Solomon talks about love and says it hath a vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Do you know a fervent spirit is the enemy's worst nightmare? There's not a lot he can do with a fervent spirit until he can get the fervent spirit cooled down enough that he can begin to work with and appeal unto. It is a deterrent for us. We say, well, how do we maintain the victory? I'm always stumbling, always falling, and the things of the world have such an appeal to me, or this temptation over here. Folks, it's about being in love with the Lord. It's about being connected to a source of power and of strength that I tap into, that supplies me with what I need when I begin to wax cold. It's what keeps that relationship new and alive, that it doesn't have to be destined to follow the path that so many marriages in our world today follow. It starts on like a flash in the pan, the passion that can't be quenched, and yet in such a short time, the flame goes out. And when the flame begins to flicker and go out, other things, heard about adultery this morning, other things begin to have a stronger appeal. Other people. The allurements of the world begin to call and begin to beckon. Folks, when our spirit is burning fervently, those things lose their appeal. Begins to lose its attraction and appeal. It's why it's so important for us today to stay connected to the source. Stay connected to the Lord. Have the Spirit working within our heart every day to keep us fervent, on fire for the Lord. So again, I want to ask us this morning, as we do that scan of our spirit, what temperature does it reflect? You remember the Laodiceans? The next chapter over in Revelation, the third chapter. He said, I know your works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, in a lot of these you read, as we did with the Ephesians, there's some things I really appreciate about you, but you've left your first love. Here he's saying, I know your works. I know that you're neither cold nor hot, but you're lukewarm. You know, lukewarmness is a place that breeds confusion. It breeds disillusionment. It breeds discouragement. It breeds deception. Being in a state of lukewarmness in our spirit. I'm not completely throwing it away. I don't want to go after the things of the world. I don't want to be an adulterer, an idolater, a murderer. I don't want to go all that way. But I've allowed my spirit to cool off into this danger zone. We know that cold is dangerous. But in a sense, lukewarmness is even more dangerous. It's better off to throw away a profession or to get right with the Lord than to try to deceive myself that everything's okay. I said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. The Lord wants us, folks, to have a fervency. Of course, He's not wanting us to be cold. He wants us to be fervent in our spirit, of a boiling temperature. That's where things happen, when things are boiling. When things are that fervent, it's when the dross is burned off. Lord, help us to have a vehemence of spirit. I'd like to close in the book of Matthew. If we're turning to that, I think of another scripture that says it's not of circumcision nor of uncircumcision. It's not about a form of religion. It's not about a legalistic way of belief. But it said it's rather a faith which worketh by love. That's what is to propel our walk with the Lord. That is to be the locomotion of our experience with the Lord. It's to be what propels us, motivates us, moves us forward in everything that we do. Not that we're propelled by the praise and adulation of men or their expectation. That's not what's to propel me forward. It's not that I could care less what you think. But there's something more than that, that's stronger than death, that has a vehement power to it and strength to it, and that is a love for the Lord. Loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, mind, and strength. It's faith that works by love. Well, as we take this scan and ask ourselves, how's my temperature? You know, the Lord can help us see. You know, there are indicators as well, just as on the dashboard of your car. There's an indicator of your engine temperature or your transmission temperature that gives you an indication what's going on under the cover. You know, there are little indicators in our lives that I begin to show that my love is growing cold. Whenever the things of God begin to lose their appeal to me, whenever His service begins to seem like a drudgery, it's an indicator that the love needle is moving towards cold. Matthew, the 12th chapter. The 20th verse says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." Folks, I want to close by encouraging us today. Folks, the Lord loves us. And He wants, above all, for us to make heaven, for us to enjoy the pleasures of salvation that comes through a sold-out experience with God, to be able to experience and taste that joy of the Lord, that life that flows in our spiritual veins as we're connected to Him. And if we find ourselves in a place that I recognize, I'm cold, I'm lukewarm, I've started to cool off a little bit. Folks, the Lord's desire is not to just stamp out the little bit that remains and snuff it out. He said He won't do that. But rather, if you can get the picture of the Lord with our spirit, when our spirit begins to cool off and that love and the fervency for the things of God begins to wane, folks, if we can get the picture of the Lord right there, blowing on it, blowing with His Spirit, trying to revive, trying to ignite again, there's still a desire there. There's still something there that they're not just cold, completely cold. There's still a little bit of spark there that I can work with. And the Lord trying to fan it, trying to get some oxygen to it, trying to add a little more fuel to it. And get it, yes, I believe we understand the picture, the analogy of it. You can't start a fire with a big log. You got to start it whenever you have just a little spark. You got a little paper, a little kindling. Make sure you're getting plenty of oxygen to it that's feeding that flame. And as it begins to burn more brightly, you can add more to it and add more to it. You know, the Lord, Scripture says, He'll perfect that which concerneth us. The Lord cares enough about us. If we find ourselves in a place that our fervency, our vehemence, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he had written them a letter chastising them for something that they had allowed in their midst. The second chapter, Epistle to the Corinthians, he talked about how they had responded to that. He said, what vehemence, what fervent desire, what zeal you had, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what vengeance, what righteous indignation that you had. You've approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. They had allowed where their love had grown cold, where they had allowed some things to work its way in their heart and in their life and in their midst. They responded to the Spirit blowing on the sparks. And they once again had allowed the Lord to bring into their life that zeal, that vehemence, that love, that passion for the things of God. And the Lord's faithful to do that with every one of us. May the Lord bless each one. You pray for me. Amen.